Speaking metaphorically, Oregon has tobacco stains on its fingers, its young fingers. Oregon shows up at or near the top of the list of states that allow minors to buy tobacco products. Yes, it is illegal, but it does happen more often in Oregon than in most other states. And nobody in a position to make a change is happy about that, so efforts are underway to roll the numbers back to make it harder for minors to procure tobacco products. Chuck Tomlin is the president of the Tobacco-Free Coalition of Oregon. Call it TOFCO, if you will. Chuck is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Well, the name is pretty clear, but where does the coalition primarily focus its efforts?
Well, TOFCO is a statewide coalition of individuals and businesses and organizations that is specifically directed toward anti-tobacco advocacy. So our overall effort is to decrease the horrible toll that tobacco takes in our society, both economic and, of course, more importantly, a personal toll in society. Specifically, we are very, very concerned about the rate at which Oregon children, and I use the word children advisedly, these are kids under 18 years old, mostly high school and sometimes middle school kids, the rate at which they are sold tobacco products. It's strictly illegal, but it's happening nevertheless.
What is that rate? I mean, when we start talking about numbers here, I mean, how often are kids able to obtain these, and how are the numbers obtained themselves?
Well, it varies year by year, and it's a complicated federal-state partnership. Usually it's called, it's known by the name of the congressman who devised the program back in 1992, a guy by the name of Mike Sinar, S-Y-N-A-R. So most people talk about the Sinar program or the Sinar numbers. Those numbers are mandated by the federal government for each state. Each state has to do inspections of the retailers that sell tobacco in their state. Some do all of the retailers, and others, like Oregon, do a sampling, and there's a reason for that. But each year they are required to do inspections that are unannounced and surprise random inspections. And the process is that an enforcement officer, along with a student who is hired for the summer to do this work, someone who is 16 years of age, goes to a retail outlet, and the student simply asks the clerk at the desk for a pack of cigarettes. And they record whether the sale is successful or not. If they are asked for their ID, the student shows their real ID showing that they're 16 years old, and presumably at that point the clerk will reject the offer. Unfortunately, in Oregon, that offer of sale or that offer to purchase is accepted many, many more times than, first of all, than it should be. It should be zero, but many, many more times than in other states. And in Oregon, we pride ourselves on healthy living and following the law, and yet we have this record, which has gone on now for 10 or 15 years, where we're close to the highest in the rate of sale to minors. 2 years ago, which is considered, ironically, the current year for the federal reporting, which is 2 years ago, in 2012, the rate was 22.5%, which is close to the rate at which a penalty is suffered. And really, in the last 5 or 6 years, Oregon has been the number one, or we probably should say number 50, because it's really a disgrace to be on this position. But the state with the greatest number of successful sales to minors. So it's something that we're not proud of at all, and we've started to turn it around. There's some reasons for that that mainly have to do with increased efforts at enforcement and increased financial support for the inspection program, but still we're either at the highest level in the country of all 50 states or close to it.
Boy, in a lot of ways you want to think of your state as we're number one, but that is not one of them.
Absolutely. You know, tobacco is the single most destructive public health product and aspect of our life for those people who smoke and the families of those who smoke. It's very difficult to get people to quit. We found that out over the years, and so the way of attacking this is keeping tobacco products out of the hands of young people, and that's the way to go. Some 90% of current smokers, statistically, start smoking before the age of 18, so start smoking when smoking is illegal, and if we can just attack that problem, we can beat this really scourge of public health, which kills some 400 to 500,000 people a year, 6,000 or 7,000 Oregonians.
We're talking about underage tobacco sales in Oregon, where the state has a pretty poor record, as you heard, relative to other states. Chuck Tommins, our guest from the Tobacco Free Coalition of Oregon, TOFCO. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have your questions, comments, stories you'd like to tell. Maybe you're a smoker yourself and can tell us how early you started smoking. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Speaking of ages, I noticed in one of the pieces in the news media talking about this particular situation with Oregon that one of the interviews was with a fellow who was puffing away on a cigarette at age 14, mentioned he had his first cigarette at age 8. Is that unusual, or is that a fairly standard span?
Well, you know, it's hard to keep track of these things statistically, but it's not really unusual. Children are curious. They see, especially if their parents smoke, they both have access to cigarettes and they have a role model for smoking. They still see cigarette smoking in movies. In fact, that's increased over the years. And so smoking, especially for those who don't smoke, has become something that is hidden, but there still is lots and lots of exposure to children these days, and they're very curious, and that curiosity can hit at any age. There are things that people can do about this. Your listeners, if they are interested in helping us solve this problem, which is a very critical problem, cost the state of Oregon both in terms of economic value and personal loss billions of dollars a year that could go to much better sources. But there are things that can be done. These require statewide changes, although the counties can be active in this and are active. It really requires statewide changes. And the two issues, the two subjects that are very, very important are licensing of tobacco retail outlets. This would identify all of the retail outlets and their owners in the state, whereas now Oregon is one of 10 or 11 states in the United States that does not have a retail licensing program, at least not on a statewide basis. The second is it would provide funds with the licensing fees for these comprehensive inspections. And the third, it would provide a very strong disincentive for these retail outlets to break the law because their licenses would be in jeopardy. So tobacco retail licensing, sometimes called TRL, is one aspect, and your listeners can contact their local legislators and urge them to support tobacco retail licensing. The second is in the area of enforcement. Oregon law has a quirk, and that is it does not fine the owners of retail outlets, your local convenience store or gas station. It does not fine the owners. It fines the poor clerk who may be very ill-trained and busy and harassed at the time. And the real way of getting of affecting change is to change that law to make sure that the owners are the ones who are held financially responsible for the violation. The fines could be increased. and they could include loss of the license with repeated fines.
So as it stands now, there is just no penalty to the business or its owners.
Exactly. That is exactly it. And that's really where change occurs on the local level with the business owners. So these are two things, increasing enforcement and establishing a tobacco retail licensing that could be done. They could be done next year very easily when the legislature convenes in Salem. And if your listeners can contact their local legislators and urge them to support these two aspects, that would go a long way towards solving this problem and putting Oregon where it belongs, in the good side of the leadership on this issue rather than on the bad side of that leadership.
Chuck Thomann, is there a fairly close correlation in the states that do have licensing and penalties to retail owners? Are those the states where there is far less selling of tobacco to minors?
Well, it's a mixed bag, and I can say this, that those that have both of these prongs, an effective, well-financed enforcement system and have retail licensing, generally do much better. You know, the national average for successful sales has hovered around 10% for years. Last 10 years, the success rate for purchasing is about 10%. As you mentioned, Oregon, at least 2 years ago, was over 20%. It has now this year dropped to 16.3%, but it's still almost double the national rate. Those who have both of these prongs, effective enforcement and tobacco retail licensing, generally are much lower than the states that don't, which of course include Oregon. Oregon has neither.
We're talking about tobacco sales to minors with Chuck Thomann from the Tobacco Free Coalition of Oregon, TOFCO. And you can join us at 800-838-3760 around the region, 541-552-6782, or contact the Jefferson Exchange by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Alex in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Well, while I was on hold, you answered most 95% of my question, which was why aren't the owners being fined, and how effective has that been in other states? And you covered that, thank you. And but related to that, is there a current bill in the legislature to fix that part of the equation?
Thanks for the question, Alex. Appreciate that. No legislative session currently, but is there a bill essentially ready to go? Have you drafted one at the Tobacco Free Coalition, ready to hand a legislator, willing to introduce it?
Well, there we have a bill of this nature every year. We try to beef up enforcement, which includes directing the violation toward the owner and increasing the fines. And there will be one this year. I don't have a bill number yet. As you pointed out, the legislature only comes into session in January and really starts rolling in February, but it will be available at this point in time. Listeners who are interested in helping this effort can simply talk to their legislators about the issue itself. This is the issue of enforcement and violations.
You mentioned, Chuck, that the Sinar Amendment, the federal amendment from 1992, I guess it is, not only tracks this, but requires the states to go out and assess the rate of compliance or noncompliance with tobacco sales to minors. What kinds of penalties come to the states if the Sinar Amendment, if the Oregon goes over 25%, which it's come close to a few times? Or,
yes.
Or is there some target at which the state gets penalized in some way?
Well, the interesting thing is that the penalty amount technically is 20%. And as you pointed out, Oregon, at least last year, the last reporting year, was 22.5% in states that inspect a sampling. And by definition, Oregon has to only inspect a sampling because we don't have any record of who the tobacco retailers are. They allow a 3% deviation. So technically, it gets up to 23%. We were at 22.5. If we had gone that extra 5, we could have lost 40% of our federal funding for addictions. And, of course, addictions include drug addictions and other alcohol addiction. And so this would have been a very dramatic problem that for Oregon that would affect us in a variety of ways. Fortunately, we changed the inspection process and beefed up enforcement a little bit and brought that rate down. The current rate, which is currently being reported to the federal government, is 16.3%. So we're, in a sense, a bit out of the danger zone of losing that federal funding, but we're way, way, way above the national average, and that's not a good place for us to be.
So let me get this straight. So if, in fact, your numbers are high, indicating that you do have a fair number of minors at least getting tobacco, doesn't necessarily indicate a broader range of substance abuse issues, but if you're indicating that you have some issues with substance abuse, you could run the risk of losing your substance abuse curtailment money?
Yeah, not all of it, but up to 40% of the annual allocation from the federal government to the state of Oregon could be lost.
Interesting. And so what are some of the things that are going on right now to try to turn things around? I mean, obviously there's been some progress already if Oregon's come down from above 20% to closer to 15%.
There has, and there have been some, you know, the real way to change is at the retail outlet level. In other words, if every retailer who sold cigarettes committed themselves not to sell to minors, not to forgo that element of profit by protecting children in our society, the problem would solve itself. Unfortunately, the profit motive sometimes overcomes an effort to do what's right. And so each county has a program, a tobacco prevention program, that is trying to assess the level of cooperation from each of the tobacco outlets in the county. But, of course, as I pointed out, they don't even know where those tobacco outlets are because we don't have this licensing system. But so there's activity at the county level. There certainly is activity at the state level. There's a tobacco prevention program at the state. And, of course, individual organizations like TOFCO are very active on this front. So what is required is either a change of behavior, which is very unlikely when you're talking about a profit motive here, or a change in the law. And that is where TOFCO comes in. That's our job, is to lobby for a change in the law.
Let's take a call. Here's Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about minors smoking in Oregon with Chuck Tauman from the Tobacco Free Coalition of Oregon.
Yes, good morning. Very quickly, have you noticed how many high schools supply smoking zones for kids? Number two, even the kids say, well, geez, you know, alcohol, it's, you're charged with possession. There's no, as I know, I don't know Oregon or any state that actually has a law. When you're caught with cigarettes, if you're under 18, are charged with possession. You have to start at kind of the bottom and work up, I think, rather than the finding the stores.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. So first of all, smoking zones, do high schools still provide those, to your knowledge?
Chuck? I don't believe so. I believe that all it's up to the inside the building, of course, whether it's a separate room or anything like that, smoking is strictly illegal. Outside the building is up to each school district. The state has already outlawed any smoking outside on their various campuses, but each district has a choice. But I can't imagine. I'm not familiar with every school district, but I can't imagine districts having designated smoking areas. Now, of course, if they're in an open campus where kids can go off campus, there's no controlling what they do out on the street.
And the other part, is there an MIP, a minor in possession type charge, as there is for alcohol, for tobacco?
There is a charge. It is strictly illegal under state laws for minors to possess or use tobacco products, but enforcement is another problem. Even where a minor is arrested for minor in possession of alcohol and they have possession of cigarettes at the same time, they're very, very rarely cited. It's just a process and a procedure of enforcement officials.
Haven't talked about this yet. I'll open this can of worms, knowing we'll probably have to pick it up on a future program. But e-cigarettes, is this a much larger headache now for you to deal with at the Tobacco-Free Coalition of Oregon?
It is. It's a headache mostly because there's so much we don't know about e-cigarettes, and a recent study by the Centers for Disease Control showed that there's a dramatic increase of e-cigarettes among high school students. There's even something that we didn't expect, and that is an increase in the use of e-cigarettes by non-smoking students, which means that it might be a gateway to actually becoming cigarette smokers.
All right. We'll have to have a conversation about e-cigarettes on a future program for sure, because it's something we've barely touched ourselves. It seems like it snuck up on everybody, regulatory and retail alike. Chuck Tauman is the president of the Tobacco-Free Coalition of Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Take care. We'll take a short break and then back with the Writer's Almanac.